Dr. Glenn Denning, another fine morning on Total Disruption. What's happening with you over there?
Hey, Michael Labersi. It is, today is the last blood moon we're going to see till 2029. So if you guys, by the time you hear this, the moon's going to be set, you won't get to see it. But for those that saw it, awesome. You get to see it. You won't see it again for a little while. I see you're wearing your Iron Man glasses today. You got your scripts coming up on the back and doing all the cool and groovy things with AI with your cool new glasses.
Yeah, I'm just rocking a little bit different look today. Right eye is a little irritated, so no contacts for the day. Working on the glasses, and besides, if I can videotaping myself, which is narcissism at its finest.
That's kind of like that. That's like that mirror trick to where you put mirrors on both sides of you, and you have an infinite amount of views. So there's an image for everybody: an infinite amount of Michael Labersi's.
I haven't found a mirror I don't like. So I'm just put it out there for everybody, right? I'm my own best friend. So speaking of critics and irritators and all that stuff, let's talk energy suck and let's talk people and let's talk a little bit about negotiation. And, you know, I've had a few things in our ecosystem that I've had unearthed, and I would say ours, yours, mine, in the disruption world with our media and with some of the relationships that we've had. And, you know, I'm learning more and more about the art of being really good at asking for money and then being not so hot on perceived delivery of money, services rendered, and then expanding on that, the sort of the wreckage it costs after a while. Like, let's say you got a spaceship halfway built, you got it into space, and then as you're going out into space, it starts to fall apart, right? And you're fragmented out there, and you're just sort of, okay, now I've joined this thing, I've signed up for something, I've invested money in this, and now it's not what I thought. How to avoid that? Let's talk about the art of negotiation. Let's talk about thinking in three dimensions. All right, Jake, go.
And that's a whole lot to unpack, Mike. Let's start with the people, right? Where you're the art of asking for money. There's using your powers for good, and there's using your powers for evil. Is the easiest way to probably describe this in this particular moment. There are a lot of people doing amazing things that require capital raise in order to keep doing amazing things. And so they ask, right? They're going to ask for that investment to be able to grow it. Now, how do we tell the difference is always the trick, right? Is this a great investment or is this a puff of smoke? And it's tough to judge it, right? A lot of times it's got to be gut. It's got to be instinct. It's got to be, you know, what feels right in this particular moment. We've all made the investments. Every single one of us has made the investment that went nowhere, did nothing. I mean, just absolutely. It's like, yeah.
That's been crazy.
We've all made it. We all make investments that, we're set up to be great. And yet, you know, as a startup business, I mean, a few years ago, I totally did this. We launched a startup business and franchises, and then I bought two franchises, and we were going to the original forecast of what it was supposed to be. If that would have come to fruition, we wouldn't be on this show, plain and simple, because with what it was forecast to be was super sexy. Like, we should be retired. I should be sitting on a beach right now, fishing pole, you know, the whole living the beach bum lifestyle. It didn't work. And we put a lot into it. We put the initial investment, we put a bucket load of time and a bucket load of money into it afterwards, and it didn't come to fruition.
Now, how big of a bucket? Was it a pail? Was it a metal bucket at the time? Or was it a plastic?
It was a dumpster?
Roll off dumpster?
If it was in dollar bills, my front end loader. bucket would be what I'd tell you. If it was in dollar bills, if it was in $1,000 bills, 5 gallon bucket. So I mean, a chunk of money, right? We put a serious chunk of money into it with the intention that this is going to be an engine for us to move forward. And it was, there was a romantic idea behind it, that, you know, generational wealth, that legacy piece. And by no ill doing in this particular thing, it didn't work. Right. It just didn't work. Business is close. Business, sometimes ideas fail. They absolutely do. Not every idea is going to be successful. Now, this was a franchise. It was something built on another business. That's why we gave it way more credit. And the bucket of money blew away is basically what it is. So we're grinding on something else. So that happened. That was in the best intentions of the people that put it together. It just didn't work. Plain and simple.
Right.
And we've all made the investments in other areas. Well, you can invest in the stock market and your money will blow away. We've all talked about that before. You can look at other individuals that, hey, this is a great investment in you. This is a great investment in what you're doing. You know, we've got one that we're specifically talking about that have no intention of finishing the spaceship.
Let me expand on that for a second. Sometimes, let's just give a piece of advice real quick while we're talking. Sometimes before you hand somebody money, be really clear on what you're handing them money for. And then what if you had to do it yourself? So those are my pieces. You don't know what you don't know. But after a while, after just so many reps, and when you do your research, let's say you're starting a podcast, right? And, you know, you pay somebody to help you, right? What are they giving you that you couldn't figure out on your own, that a little bit of effort couldn't offset? Now, there's a difference between laziness and there's a difference between truncating time and knowledge. And, you know, I know that you and I bring a high level of integrity, if I may have a shameless pitch. You and I have a high level of integrity about what we bring. We're not the low-cost provider in terms of coaching and development services, but we know what we bring to the table. We bring honest information that will help shortcut somebody. So I would say you could save yourself five times the value in investing in some one of our programs that you would spend in your own money and your own time. And nobody's got the golden ticket but the person investing the money. That's the energy, the effort. The person that made the franchise is successful, we don't know. In your case, I mean, again, we're not going to take this whole episode and go into a super deep dive, but it could have been the right location, right? What made the initial idea successful is the right timing, the right location, the right person with the right whatever. And it was a miracle. That would be very hard to duplicate in another area, right? Like, if you open one of my clients has a roll-off dumpster business, $20 million business. Well, in the DC metro area, it works really well. My client's there. They conduct business. Their whole hub's there. You know, they start trying to branch out into different markets. It's a different vibe altogether. There's a different set of circumstances. Takes a while. Takes longer in areas that aren't as affluent, that don't have as much movement. It's a weird scale down that has to happen. So I would say those of you out there that are aspiring entrepreneurs looking to invest with somebody or something, what if you had to hand that money over and do a lot of the work yourself? You always have to do all the work. What if what you promised didn't work, right? What if it's just pie in the sky? Now that's not, I don't want anyone to get confused with, I shouldn't charge a lot of money for services, because you should. Mm-hmm. You should get what you're worth and then some, because you only get one shot at this, right? You only get one shot at what you're doing. And there's no guarantees that somebody, just because they pay you and you're giving the honest, you know, honest to goodness effort, they're going to succeed, right?
Yep. And I see this all the time. I see it in trades constantly. And I see it on Facebook. I see, you know, reviews, you see it on Yelp, you see it everywhere. I'll use plumbers as an example. Once upon a time, I was a plumber. Like, once upon a time, it's been a minute.
Really?
So I'm going to use that as the example. And repair guys, right, that are going to come in and do the work. I've seen more reviews that are pissed off, right? Called a plumber. He was here for 15 minutes and I paid him $250. That's outrageous. Blah, 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 down the road. And you're not paying for the 15 minutes he was there. You're paying for the 15 years of experience that allowed him to come to your property, save you from a water leak, from countless amounts of damage, mold, blah, 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 all the things. You're paying for that 15 years of experience that he was able to get it done in 15 minutes. If you could diagnose it and cure the problem, you wouldn't have had to call him. But you can't. You couldn't diagnose the problem. You couldn't cure the problem. It is an investment. I want to say it's just, you know, price, cost of doing business. You're paying for the experience that you don't have. It costs. I mean, everybody's like, oh, you know, he's a plumber. He didn't go to school. No, that's not true. Like plumbers take, you have to understand, I'm defending the trades right now on purpose because they go through 2 years of an apprenticeship program to where they are in it. They're in it deep. They're working 40 to 50 to 60 hour weeks for 2 years for nominal pay before they're even allowed to not necessarily be supervised. They got two more years before they can do it on their own. Kids, that's a 4 year degree. That's a piece of paper that they get stamped that says, I'm a journeyman plumber. It took me 4 years of being abused by my journeyman, because believe me, in the trades, it is ugly. That's a whole different conversation. However, that's what you're paying for. No different than if you go to the doctor, right? You feel good about going to the doctor and paying them a ton of money because they went to school and they've got this big, you know, length of experience to be able to help you solve the problem at hand. It's no different than in the trades. It's no different than in your business when you hire a strategist, you hire a coach, it's the same creature, right? You're not necessarily, I'm going to use us again as the example. You're not paying us to cure the problem at hand. It only took us 15 minutes to diagnose. You're paying us for the 20, 25 plus, between Mike and I, we got way more than that, but that'd be dating us just a little bit. But let's call it 20 or 25 years combined. That's what you're paying for. You're paying for the previous experience. You're paying for that Rolodex of information that's in our heads that we can go, oh, we've seen this before. This is the cure. That's what you're paying for when you're paying for that particular service in that moment. Now we all get caught up in it, right? We all get caught up in the, hey, the next iteration of our service. Let's go back to pie in the sky. It's where I want Mike to unpack that a little bit more. We have all been caught in the, I stroked a check for the pie in the sky. And there's pie in the sky with good intentions. And there's pie in the sky with not good intentions of what they're intending to do. And we're dealing with that. How do you discern it? How do you find out the difference, Mike, between whether this is crap or whether this is, you know, these guys are making an honest effort to do the thing?
Well, I'm going to give everybody a tip that's probably going to be counterproductive if you and I are ever doing something where we're selling from a stage, but you have to look at your emotional state and you have to look at, where do you make a decision from? A position of desperation, or are you making decisions from an informed, calm position where you're sitting down and you're taking a pencil to something and you're walking around informed? So I'm going to give everybody a hack. If you go to a life seminar, or if you go to a business seminar, or you go to a course, or you go somewhere and people are giving you information, there at some point somebody is going to ask you to buy something and they're going to say, they're not going to know, but if you're going there, chances are you're going to hear four or five things that start to make sense. Are you making an emotional decision or are you making a thought, mindful decision? And the difference is the pie in the sky, people charge what they charge, right? Like if I charge 10 grand for a watch and I charge 50 grand for a watch, what's the difference? You can tell me all the movement, the case, the material, this, that. If I don't like it, I don't like it. If I'm making an emotional decision, I like it, I like it. The practical side says, why 10 over 50? You could justify one way or the other, and it's all relative. But if you're making an emotional decision, and you're going through the steps and you're saying, wow, I can really invest in this. And this is all the answers to my problems. Chances are you're going to make a bad buy. Now, when I say chances are you're going to make a bad buy, if you're making an emotional decision and you think that exchange of money is somehow going to unlock a door that a lot of hard work is not going to open for you, you're sadly mistaken. So, yeah, eat and swallow sometimes the check. You eat and swallow the investment because you're like, you know what? I'm going to convince myself that I did make a mistake, but what I learned is I'm never going to do that in this area again. So here's how you really do unpack that. Emotional versus practical. What is this going to really do for me? Because I don't know if you know this, people out there in the world, but Jake and I got upsold. I think somebody came up to us with a $50,000 ticket where we could get in for $25,000 to a bigger coaching group. And I sit back and Jake sit back and we talked about it and said, you know, what is that $25,000 really going to get us? What is more of whatever this person has? Is that, we didn't do it, and thank God it all blew up, albeit for a tragic reason, but it still blew up. That would have been 25K out the door that we couldn't get back. That would have been a total waste. So emotional versus practical. There is the biggest difference. If you're in a heightened emotional state making a decision, probably not the best idea. What do you say?
I totally agree with you, man. That's absolutely true. And it's hard. It's a challenge, right? I'm not saying there's a cure, but it is a challenge to check that emotion, to back up in a moment and put yourself in that, you know, we'll go back to a few episodes back, that stoicism that we were talking about, put yourself in that stoic space and evaluate really what's going on. You know, Mike's 100% right. If we're making decisions based on emotion or drama or whatever the case may be, we've all done it. Everybody's done it. I'm not going to say we don't do it. 100%. And this is one of those other spots. And we talk about this in the first book. Mike and I talk about it all the time. This is where the power of who comes in. Of if you have, you've got to have, not if you have. You've got to have a mentor. You've got to have a role model. You've got to have a colleague. You've got to have somebody that you can go to and go, hey, Mike, here's the thing that's come up. I need you to, you know, take a look at this, because they're going to be able to evaluate it from a non-emotional position. They're going to be able to evaluate it from a very clear, clerical space and go and ask you the important questions about, you know, okay, what happens when this happens? What happens when this happens? And you should know at that point, if they're asking you the what ifs, they're asking you because they love you. But if you're going to get triggered emotionally and defensive about wanting to do it, that should tell you something. That should absolutely tell you something, whether you should be going down that road or not. So it's having that role model, that who in your life that you can call and go, hey, I've got a question. This is an opportunity. And there was that's become kind of a dirty four-letter word in my world, and has been for a long time, because the classic upsell when I was a CEO, the classic upsell was, hey, we've got a great next level opportunity for you in your executive leadership role. And it was pretty much, we've got something that's just absolute trash that we need fixed, that nobody else is going to want to do it. But if you can pull it off, great. But there was no clear path on how to do it. So, I mean, their opportunity got to be kind of an ugly word for me for a lot of years.
Totally. And here's the other thing. If you don't have a benchmark journey that you're trying to achieve, right? Let's just say you want to develop a new friendship, or you're doing a business relationship. What's your benchmark journey in acquiring new friends? Do you want somebody else to drink beers with? Do you want somebody else to hang out with, or go do a sport or golf or an activity? Like, put some people in places. I don't mean to get so tactical and everything in life, but at some point, I do feel like there needs to be a little bit of a, come to Jesus moment as to when you're getting clear with everyone and everything in your life, what you're really trying to do with people. Like, saying, for example, I don't have a lot of friends. Now, we're not veering off the investment topic, but, well, okay, I'm going to go out and get five more friends. Does that mean you're going to start taking acquaintances and reaching out to them more, getting more personal with them, sharing more things with them, asking them to hang out more? You know, because I've tried to do that, and I've reached a point where I said, okay, I'm going to expand my circle of friends, and it wasn't received well. And what I mean is either I was doing it not the way somebody wanted to receive it, or the reality of trying to be friends with somebody is like, all right, well, how much am I going to really hang out with this person? And what are we really going to do? What are we really going to do? Right? It wasn't received well. I didn't think it out well. I tried best as I could to my standards and knowledge and level. And I finally said, all right, what am I doing this for? You know, I don't need, I was doing it for one of my kids, trying to get like a different group in, trying to associate with a different group of dads and do a couple different things so that my son could do a little bit more with this group on purpose, just trying to expand his friend circle a little bit. He doesn't drive or anything, so I kind of need to be there or need to drop him off and need to make introductions. And I said, you know, the reality is, what am I really chasing this person down for? And then I started realizing, like, why am I doing anything with anybody that isn't reaching out to me? I'll do bare minimums. I'll try to nurture. Same thing in business. I'm going to hand you $10,000. What level of support am I getting for that 10 grand? If you're going to sit here and say, okay, well, for 10 grand, you get this sales team, you get 5 coaching calls with me, that's a $5,000 value, plus all your setup fees and everything else. Okay, that's something. That's a tangible, reliable opportunity. That's a literal opportunity. The opportunity is you get X, Y, Z, the clarity there, the steps, the stages, and then am I plugging in? That to me, that's how you flush all that out. And that's how you learn from guys like you and I who've been around the block, who are trying to like do everything we say we're going to do. Like, I'll put it to you this way. I don't know about you, Jake, but everything that I've ever coached on or that I do, I've done personally, succeeded, failed, avoided. There's a deliberate interaction with me and the information I'm exchanging with somebody that somebody is going to save themselves a ton of time, ton of energy, a ton of money, and cut to the chase.
No, that's a lot. And I'll give you in the last couple of minutes here, I'm going to plus one on that a little bit. If you are in a service-based space and you are selling trading services for money, right, and you have to, whatever that may be, right, maybe you have a high ticket offer, that's the standard going range of words everybody's using right now. You are out selling high ticket offers and you're doing it with the best of intentions and you have an amazing service that you're providing. When you're having conversations with potential clients, if you've got a potential client that you're having to convince upfront that this is an opportunity, this is what it is, and they're not seeing it upfront, that should also be a flag for you to not take their money, not get in business with them. Because if they do not see the opportunity up front and they're just like, well, maybe I'll trepidatiously hand you this money, they're not going to get it at the end. They're going to come to the end and they go, well, what did I get for my investment? They may have plugged in, they may have done the things, but if they don't understand the vision initially, if they're not excited about the vision, they're not like, man, this could be it. I understand it. I get it. I agree that this is where we're going. If you're having to convince them at that point, you're not getting in the right relationship. It's not going to be a win-win down the road. You're going to have to work extra hard to convince them along the way that they're getting the value. And at the end, you're going to have to reconvince them. Here's the value you got. That's going to hurt your Yelp reviews. They're going to get on there and go, well, I stroked a check for this much money. Everybody gets the reference.
What a weird word. What a weird word.
I know. Yelp. Yeah, but look at, there's a business for you that they have created through AdStream. I mean, that's become a monster of, you know, for it. Originally, it started out as a group of hipsters that just wanted to review their local local restaurants so that they could say whether this was a place that me and my group would want to hang out. And it has turned into this, well, it's national. I'm not sure. I know it's in Canada too, but I don't know where else it is in the world. It's turned into this major juggernaut to where people are going and looking at your business on Yelp before they want to do business with you. Then they're going to review you on LinkedIn. It's an amazing tool that people are using, but there's a good one. Somebody once upon a time says, I have a vision of, hey, you know, the 25 of us are going to build this cute little website and we're going to just review these restaurants so we know for our friends what it's going to be. Look what that evolved into. That is a, as I recall, Yelp has got like a $250 million valuation right now for a review website. And that's all based on sponsors and ad campaigns. It's really cool.
Review website. Way to boil it down.
Yeah, that's pretty generic. I'm going to get calls from the Yelp people, but I think it's a great tool, and it's a fantastic tool.
All right, my friend. Well, we are out of time. On behalf of my co-host, Jake Clendenning, I'm Mike Liberace. Thanks for tuning in to Total Disruption. We'll see you next time. Now it's your turn to disrupt.